Regina smiled back and sipped her coffee. I'd seen her around before, usually sitting in the library with a book in hand, a big, dark woman who wore stockings and dresses that looked homemade, along with tinted, oversized glasses and a scarf always covering her head. I knew she was a junior, helped organize black student events, didn't go out much. She stirred her coffee idly and asked, "What did Marcus call you just now? Some African name, wasn't it?"
"Barack."
"I thought your name was Barry." "Barack's my given name, my father's name. He was Kenyan."
"Does it mean something?"
"It means blessed, in Arabic. My grandfather was a Muslim." Regina repeated the name to herself, testing out the sound.
"Barack."
"It's beautiful." She leaned forward across the table. "So why does everybody call you Barry?"
"Habit, I guess.
My father used it when he arrived in the States. I don't know whether that was his idea or somebody else's. He probably used Barry because it was easier to pronounce. You know, helped him fit in. Then it got passed on to me, so I could fit in."
"Do you mind if I call you Barack?"
Regina asked.
I smiled.
"Not as long as you say it right." She tilted her head impatiently, her mouth set in mock offense, her eyes ready to surrender to laughter. We ended up spending the afternoon together, talking and drinking coffee. Regina told me about her childhood in Chicago, the absent father and struggling mother, the Southside Six Flat that never seemed warm enough in winter and got so hot in summer that people went out by the lake to sleep. She told me about the neighbors on her block, about walking past the taverns and pool halls on the way to church on Sunday. She told me about evenings in the kitchen with uncles and cousins and grandparents, the stew of voices bubbling up in laughter. Her voice evoked a vision of black life and all its possibility, a vision that filled me with longing, a longing for place and a fixed and definite history. As we were getting up to leave, I told Regina I envied her.
"For what?" she asked.
"I don't know. For your memories, I suppose." Regina looked at me and started to laugh, a round, full sound from deep in her belly.
"What's so funny?" I asked.
"Oh, Barack," she said, catching her breath. "Isn't life something? And here I was all this time wishing I'd grown up in Hawaii." Strange how a single conversation can change you. Or maybe it only seems that way in retrospect. A year passes and you know you feel differently, but you're not sure what or why or how, so your mind casts back for something that might give that difference shape. A word, a glance, a touch. I know that after what seemed like a long absence, I had felt my voice returning to me that afternoon with Regina. It remained shaky afterward, subject to distortion. But entering my sophomore year, I could feel it growing stronger, sturdier, that constant, honest portion of myself, a bridge between my future and my past.